Good evening. As you're putting your songbooks away, I encourage you to pull out your Bibles and open them up to Philemon. It's short little books sandwiched in between Titus and Hebrews, if you have a little hard time finding it. It's only 25 verses, and we're going to read all of it tonight. So good to see everybody out this evening. There are a number of different things that you could be doing, but the fact that you're here shows that you have your priorities straight, that you want to serve God, and that you want to know more about Him and know how to better serve Him. And I commend you for that. I'd like to say amen to definitely Brother J.W.'s prayer this evening, and also the songs that we've sung. So far, it's been an excellent worship service, and let's hope to continue this forward. Philemon is one of the shortest books in the entire Bible, but what it says, it speaks volumes. That's why I want us to examine this little book tonight and see what we can learn from it. So if you would, start reading with me in Philemon, the first chapter, well, the only chapter, Philemon, the first verse. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I want us to notice a phrase, a peculiar phrase that's mentioned twice in this passage. In verse 7 of Philemon, Paul calls Philemon someone who refreshed the hearts of the brethren there at Colossae. And in verse 20, Paul tells Philemon that he will refresh Paul's heart by accepting Onesimus back to him. And today I want us to examine Philemon in this light, in the light of being a refresher of hearts. We'll briefly discuss what a refresher of hearts is tonight and how Philemon was one. And then we'll close by looking at how we can be refresher of hearts as well. And then the lesson will be yours. Well, let's get started. What is a refresher of hearts? The Greek word that Paul uses for this word refresh is anapao. Strong's Greek dictionary defines it as to refresh or to give or to take ease. And the idea is that of being a breath of fresh air. If you've ever been in a stuffy room with a lot of hot air, you know how refreshing it is when somebody opens a window and lets that air blow in. It could be that you were frustrated or upset or just sweating. But as soon as somebody opens that air and lets that fresh air come in, it refreshes you. It makes you feel a lot better about being there. And that's the idea. You know, we live in such a depressing world, a depressing and sinful world. If you open up the newspaper or turn on the TV on the evening news, you'll see stories of rape and murder and lies and all sorts of horrible, bad things. And if you look around you in your school or in your workplace or just in general, you see sin all around us. People who aren't only looking out for themselves, people who we euphemistically say are living in sin or just living an alternative lifestyle. And you know, for godly people, it's more than just a little discouraging to see so many people willingly disobey God and not to think a thing about it. One could easily get down in the dumps because of it all. And yet, with so many people out there who leave the smog and pollution of sin in the air behind them, there are always people out there who are a breath of fresh air. A refresher of hearts is someone who encourages others to do what is good in spite of the world in which we live. A refresher of hearts is someone who builds other people up while the whole world is trying to constantly bring people down. There are people who are actively working to make this place a little better to live in. People who are making the world an easier place in which to live. And people who really are a breath of fresh air to the people who are struggling in this world. This is the type of person Philemon was. This is the type of person the Holy Spirit says that Philemon was. So let's look at what made Philemon a refresher of hearts. The first thing I think that we can notice about Philemon that made him a refresher of hearts is that he was a friend to Paul, a man in need. If you would, look again to verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. At the time this letter was written, Paul was in prison in Rome. Now, I've never been in prison or in jail. I've had to visit there a couple of times for my last job, but I've never actually been there, not on my own free will. But despite what you see on TV or what you hear people joke about, prison isn't a great place to be. Prison is full of people who don't want to be there. It's a depressing place. People are being held there against their will. Paul was in prison in Rome, not because of anything bad he had done, but because of the jealousy of the Jews, the people, the wickedness of the Jews in Jerusalem that hated Paul because of the gospel that he preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they wanted him dead for preaching that gospel of Jesus. Paul didn't belong in prison. And despite the rather upbeat nature in his letters, you can imagine that there were times while he was in prison that he got down in the dumps for being unduly in prison. And through all of this, Philemon was a friend to Paul in this tough time. Despite Paul being in prison, Philemon was still his friend. You know, there are some people that turned away from Paul. We just read in the last, in Philemon verse 24, about Demas, who was his fellow laborer there. If we turn over to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 10, we see something about this Demas. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 10. We'll start in verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Some people abandoned Paul, whether it's for the cares of this world or the fact that Paul was in prison. And they were ashamed of that. But Philemon was a friend in this hard time for Paul, that he stuck close to him. Now, it's unclear how much actual interaction they had together. Yet we do know that Paul played a pivotal role in the conversion of Philemon. And because of that, they became good friends. I want to shift gears just for a moment, but I promise this will have bearing in just a second. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been down before? In 2001, my papaw passed away. And I don't know if there was a single person that in my life who influenced me more for good than that man. I still dearly miss him. And when he died, I could hardly believe it. I could hardly let that thought sink into my head. And I retreated within myself and I made myself my own little prison. And that's, looking back, I can tell that's where I planned on spending the rest of my life. And then at the funeral, something happened. I spent most of the time in the corner with my head in my hands, trying to not let people see me cry. Which was silly, I know. And many people came and patted me on the back and said, it's okay. But one hand was different. As I was sitting there crying, the hand came on my shoulder. I knew it was different, so I looked up. It was a friend that I hadn't seen in a very long time. And it was somebody who had driven over 100 miles. Not because they knew my papaw, but because they knew that I needed a friend. Because they knew that I was in need at that moment. And they could do something about it. And because of that great act of friendship, I was able to make it through that hard time. I'm sure we all have stories like this, where someone went out of their way to show you a great deal of kindness and brought you out of your own unduly self-imprisonment. Philemon was this type of person to Paul. He was that kind hand on Paul's shoulder during this hard time for Paul. One of the many hands that I'm sure Paul had to help him get through this hard time. This was the type of person Philemon was to Paul while he was in prison. It's one of the things that made him a refresher of hearts. Something else that made him a refresher of hearts was that he was involved in the work of the church. This is something that we're going to talk about in more detail in a few weeks, but I want us to just briefly talk about it here just for a moment. Look in verse 6, if you would. Philemon, verse 6. I want you to notice something about Philemon. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Philemon was somebody who shared his faith. He was somebody who was involved in the work of evangelism, in the spreading of gospels. In the children's Bible drill tonight, we talked about the apostles, how they were fishers of men and how we can be fishers of men as well if we just tell people about Jesus, about how great he is and how he can be their Lord as well. This is something that Philemon was involved in. He was involved in sharing his faith. And it makes sense, actually, that a friend of the great evangelist Paul would be an evangelist himself. Maybe not in the sense of a full-time evangelist like Paul was, or Kyle or I, but in the sense that he spread the gospel, that he spread the good news. This was a man who was concerned about spreading the gospel because it was important to him. And even though he was a wealthy man, you can tell that he understood what true wealth was. If you turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter, that's Matthew, the sixth chapter, and look with me at verses 19 through 21. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You can tell that Philemon understood what Jesus meant here. You can tell that Philemon took these words to heart about laying up treasures in heaven. That's exactly what he did. Something else that was important to him was loving others. If you notice in Philemon verse 5, turn back to Philemon and look at verse 5. He says, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord and toward all the saints. Paul says that he heard of Philemon's love and faith he had towards the Lord and to all the saints. This was a man who was involved in the work of encouragement. This is somebody who wanted to encourage, who wanted to build people up, who wanted to be a breath of fresh air in a sinful world because he cared, because he loved people, and he wanted them to love God as well. He wanted them to do good works. And that's exactly what Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 talks about. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 talks about. If you turn there, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer was talking about here. The reasons that we come to assemble, the reason why he had people in his house to assemble, the reason why he had the church in his house meet, was to stir one another up to good works, to encourage one another. And I think it's for this reason that he opened his house, to allow the church to meet there, to assemble together, doing the work of benevolence, by extending his hospitality to the saints in Colossae. In Philemon's verse 2, we already noted that the church met in his house to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Now, Philemon was a wealthy man. Most slave owners were. And it would have been little problem for him to open his home and have all of the saints in Colossae in there. But still, this is important to mention because just having the means and the opportunity to do something doesn't mean that somebody will do something. Just because you have the opportunity and the ability to do good doesn't mean that you will do good. It has to be something you want to do. And you can tell that this is something that Philemon wanted to do because he loved the saints. Because he loved the Lord. One other thing that made Philemon a refresher of hearts was his willingness to forgive Onesimus for leaving. Onesimus was one of Philemon's slaves, and for some reason, Onesimus ran away from Philemon. And maybe even more mysterious than that, he runs into Paul. We don't know whether he was looking for Paul or that it just sort of happened by the grace of God that he found Paul, Philemon's good friend. But Onesimus comes in contact with Paul and spends some time with Paul. And during that time, Paul taught him the gospel. And Onesimus obeyed it, and he became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, Paul impressed upon Onesimus the need to return to Philemon as his slave because that was what was right. That was the right thing to do. Understandably, Onesimus was concerned about what would happen when he returned. Runaway slaves were not treated very well when they returned. So Paul wrote this concerning this to Philemon. Look at verses 17 through 22 again with me. 17 through 22. Then if you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put it on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you soon. Paul knows that Philemon is going to forgive Onesimus. Not and accept him back, not just as a slave, but even more as a slave, as a brother in Christ. Now, we don't know for certain, or we're not told that Philemon does accept Onesimus back. But from what we can tell, just in the short little letter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, just looking at the character of Philemon, we can be fairly certain that Philemon forgave his new brother in Christ and welcomed him back home. Very quickly, I want us to ask this question. How can we be refresher of hearts today? We just saw what made Philemon a refresher of hearts. What lessons can we learn from this? How can we be refresher of hearts as well? First thing that we need to do to be a refresher of hearts is that we need to be a friend to those in need. If you would, turn over to Luke, the 10th chapter. And look with me at verses 25 through 37. We won't read all of that. But many of us are familiar with this passage. It's the passage of, or it's the parable that Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan, where a man comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asks him, "Well, what does the law say?" The man says, "Well, I need to love the Lord and I need to love my neighbor as myself." And this man tries to justify himself and say, "Well, who is my neighbor? Who is somebody that I need to love?" And Jesus tells the parable of the man who fell among thieves, who was on the side of the road, left for dead. Somebody who was definitely in need. Three people come up to him. Two of them walk by on the other side, completely ignoring him. The third man, a Samaritan, comes up and sees this man in need and says, "I'm going to help him." That's exactly what he does. He picks him up, puts him on his own animal, and takes him and takes care of him and leaves him in a position where he will be taken care of and nursed back to health. In verse 36, Jesus asks this man this question. "So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." In this passage, Jesus discusses two things. Jesus discusses who our neighbors are and how we're to treat them. Our neighbors are anybody in need, anybody that we see who is in need of our help. And how we treat them, how we are to treat them, is with love and with compassion, giving them what they need, not necessarily what they want, but what they need. Galatians 6, verse 10 says this about giving people what they need. Galatians 6, verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." Galatians and Paul in Galatians 6, verse 10 says to do good to everyone as we have the opportunity. True friendship does not require you to know somebody.
All it requires you to know is that somebody needs help and that you're going to help them, that you're going to provide it for them, that you are going to be that friend to them. True friendship helps people liberate themselves from their self-imposed prisons. I want to do something a little different right now. I want you to think of somebody right now. Somebody who is in need of a friend. It could be anybody. Just think of somebody who is in need of a friend. Refresh their hearts and be a friend to them sometime this week. Find some way to help them in their time of need. Even if it's just a cup of cold water, it'll be worth it. Second, we need to be active in the work of the church. You know, the best way to help somebody, the best way to be a friend to somebody, the most friendly thing that we can do is to teach people the gospel and how to live according to the Bible. What could be more friendly than giving someone the words of life? In Acts, the third chapter, Peter comes across a lame man who asks for help. And in verse 6, Peter says that he has something much better than money. He had Jesus. And after he healed the lame man, Peter taught him and everyone that was present about Jesus and about how great he was. I want you to think of somebody right now who needs the gospel. Somebody in your life, in your sphere, in your world that needs the gospel. Refresh their hearts this week by telling them about Jesus, about how great he is and how he can be their king as well, how he can be great to them as well. Also, we need to encourage the saints by physically and spiritually. In Acts, the fourth chapter, verses 36 and 37, we see a character by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas is described as a great encourager. If you would turn over there, Acts, the fourth chapter, and read with me verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was a great encourager, not only because he went with Paul on one of his preaching trips and taught people about Jesus, but also because he cared about people enough to give them what they physically and spiritually needed. He was a great encouragement in word and deed, and if there was a need to be met, he was going to meet it. Now, I want you to think of someone else right now, somebody right in this building who needs encouragement in their life. We have plenty of sick and heart-sick people, brothers and sisters here, who need help. Some encouraging word or something. Be a refresher of their hearts and encourage them some way this week. Also, we need to be hospitable like Philemon was, engaged in the work of benevolence. Philemon was a wealthy person and had the church meet in his house. And you can tell that he cared about God and about other people. How many of us are considered wealthy by the world's standards? We all have food on our plates and clothes on our backs and roofs over our heads. And with just that, we're far better off than 90% of the world. That's why I make this suggestion. Think of someone else who you can have into your home to show hospitality to. It doesn't matter who it is. Just to show them that you care about them. Refresh their hearts by opening your heart and your home to them. And finally, we need to forgive those who sin against us and forget what they've done, but welcome them back into our lives. Be it a stranger like the guy who cut you off in traffic, or a friend like Paul did with John Mark. In Acts, the 15th chapter, we see that John Mark had been on a preaching trip with Paul and Barnabas, but left in the middle of that trip. Paul didn't want him to come, didn't want John Mark to come on that trip with him again, on the second trip. But we see by the time in Philemon verse 24, we see something else about John Mark, that he had come back, that he had become profitable again to Paul, that Paul had forgiven him of the trespass that he caused against Paul. In verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. He was profitable again to Paul. We need to forgive them and welcome them back in our family relationships, whether it's in a spouse who has left and wants to return, just as Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 16. We're in the church family relationship. Anyone who wants to be forgiven and return to the fold, just as Jesus instructed in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 35. Refresh their aching and penitent hearts. As we close, listen to the words of the Lord through Paul one more time. Verse 20. Philemon, verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Today and every day, we have the unique opportunity to make this world an easier place for someone else to live in. Someone who so desperately needs a breath of fresh air. Won't you be like Philemon today? And be a refresher of the hearts around you by being a friend to those people who are in need, by being involved in the work of the church, and by forgiving and welcoming those who sin back to God. Now is the time that we've set aside in which we offer the gospel invitation to anyone who needs to make their lives right with God. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, why don't you come forward right now, as we stand and as we sing.